mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I won't ask you for a show of hands, but I ask each of you this question this morning. Do you have a good sense of direction or not? I am one of those who gives thanks to God for the invention of the GPS. It has lowered my blood pressure and made me more comfortable on the road, and it's always nice to have a person telling me where I'm going next. Even when I make a wrong turn, the voice says, redirecting. If you don't have a good sense of direction and you don't have a good set of directions with you, and you get lost, boy, are you in trouble. Two quick illustrations. When I first moved here, I went to visit someone at St. Agnes. When I came out after that visitation, I should have made a left at the traffic light, and I made a right. The time was around 1:30. I made it back to the church at 3 o'clock. I had to call Sarah, who was at St. Stephen's. I was almost in tears. Within 5 minutes, I was on 695 close to the Reisterstown Road exit. Where I went in between, only God knows. A worse time, I was back in Philadelphia as a youth pastor. I visited a young person at Philadelphia Children's Hospital. I came out. It should have taken me at most an hour. It took me 4 hours. I was glad to get back home again. Just for the record, I am willing to ask directions when I'm lost. But in both of those examples, there were plenty of times I could not afford to pull over and ask for directions because I was in unsafe territory. No more discussion. This morning from our epistle lesson, we have a very stern warning from the writer of Hebrews telling us not to go down that dangerous spiritual road. Last week, we were merely talking, as if that's not serious enough, that believers should not be immature in their spiritual walk. Here, he's warning us of the danger of falling away from Christ. We do not need to go down that road. And so, first of all, my first point is the warning concerning those who fall away. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 has this sobering warning about those who fall away. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. This verse is baffling to us because it seems out of sync with other passages such as 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet Hebrews 6:6 speaks about a person who is in such a spiritual state that it is impossible to renew them to repentance. This is a bewildering and sobering statement. It's addressing the issue of apostasy, which means permanently walking away from the Christian faith and never coming back. Once enlightened, someone who has come into contact with the saving message of the gospel and at one time professed faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but then renounces the faith and permanently walks away. They were once a member of the visible church and partook of its sacraments and other blessings of the new covenant, but they did not persevere in their faith in Christ. The author of this letter has already given us the example of the unfaithful children of Israel in the wilderness journey who had the good news of God's word preached to them through Moses, and yet they failed to truly believe. They are a paradigm and example of how we shouldn't treat God's holy word and covenant. To whom much is given, much is required. There are also examples in the New Testament of followers of Christ who permanently turned their back on God. The most prominent example in the New Testament was one of the apostles, namely Judas. Jesus said concerning Judas in John chapter 6, verses 63 and following, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.'" Both Judas and the many unfaithful Israelites who had access to the blessings of the covenant because they professed faith in the true and living God, yet did not persevere but turned their back on God. One reason these statements about a person who was once part of the visible church and then turns away from the Christian faith are perplexing is that in other passages of Scripture, it speaks of the security of the believer's salvation, such as in Philippians 1:6, one of my favorites, where the Apostle Paul says this of God, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus." Further in Romans 8:30, where the Apostle Paul links all of God's people in the links of redemption. Those whom God foreknew, he also predestined, and those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. The perplexing problem is how does one set of passages relate to the other, the security of the believer's salvation and this warning in Hebrews 6. Inevitably, when we compare Scripture to Scripture, we need to use the good gift of reason and logic as we strive to interpret the Scriptures accurately. And yes, the passage before us is one reason why Christians have come to different conclusions on whether or not it is possible for a Christian to lose his salvation. Those who do believe that's possible stick their thumb in Hebrews 6. Those of us who do not believe it's possible view Hebrews 6 in connection with the security of a believer's salvation taught in various passages, and it's obvious Christians come to different conclusions as they compare these two sets of scriptures. The reference to apostasy in this passage is not the sins of genuine believers, but to a particular disposition in one who repudiates God's grace to such a degree that he permanently severs himself from Christ and his body. The sin of apostasy is a grim possibility for persons who, through identification with God and his people, have been brought into the sphere of divine blessings. They are among the baptized and openly profess Christ as Lord and Savior up to a point in their lives, but then subsequently renounce Jesus Christ. Such apostates are not genuine branches of Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. They do not persevere and abide in Jesus Christ and thus are cast off and cut away. St. Chrysostom says about those who commit apostasy that they have the baptism of the body, but not the illumination of the soul. What he was referring to is that while these individuals were part of the visible company of the church and received the sacrament of baptism, yet God the Holy Spirit had not changed them, otherwise they would have persevered in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, 7, and 8 says this, "For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it also is tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned." This is similar to Jesus' parable of the sower. While Jesus had a wide range of reactions in the soils, here it lists two responses. One is positive, that drinks in the rain and brings forth vegetation, and the other is an unfaithful response to the gospel, in which the field only yields thorns and thistles and is burned up. The faithful believers who have been brought to faith in Christ continue to receive God's word and are nourished and strengthened by that in mind, will, and priority, and are truly blessed of God as God brings forth his fruit in our lives. On the other hand, the unfaithful response to the word of God is like a field which yields only thorns and thistles. It's worthless because it has yielded no crops or vegetation useful to us for our sustenance. Because of this continuing rejection of God's word, this type of individual is cursed because he or she is under divine judgment for being exposed to the word of God, yet constantly rejecting it. To whom much is given, much is required. My second point is the comfort and promise for those who persevere in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:9 says this, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way." This verse is in harmony with the rest of the New Testament, which speaks of the security of the believer's salvation. But we must take both of those things together, the security of the believer's salvation and the need for perseverance. Both are true. Building on the passages I've already quoted, let us also hear this promise from Jesus in John 10, verses 27 through 30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I quote from John 10 because it is an example of how to understand both the security of the believer's salvation as well as the believer's responsibility to persevere. The sheep hears and follows Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and within that relationship, he protects us in our salvation. This makes sense of the warning from Hebrews 6, for this statement in Hebrews 6:9 is that the author is confident that the believers won't commit this serious sin of apostasy because of what accompanies salvation, which is the gift of perseverance. The only way a person can rest assured that they have genuinely believed the gospel is that they continue to persevere. I believe Hebrews 6 is in perfect harmony with the other passages. The believer's salvation is secure, but we know it as we continue to persevere. And so all the saints of God will persevere, but all the saints of God must persevere. May God give us the grace to hear this challenge and this warning. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, to all who are baptized into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may put off the old life of sin and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. This we ask through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.